Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks for listening to Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Friday, January 25th. A measure to give Colorado gay couples many of the same legal rights as married heterosexual couples cleared its first committee at the state capitol yesterday. After being at the center of a political storm last year, the bill passed easily on a party-line vote. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
It's the third year in a row that Democrats have brought forward a measure to allow civil unions. But unlike previous tries, it's expected to sail through the legislature now that Democrats control both chambers. Democratic Senator Pat Stedman of Denver says the measure is about more than legal rights.
For those who are fortunate enough to have someone that they want to make this commitment with and share the rest of their life with, I think we should enable that commitment. We should enable that love. We should respect it. Why should the state of Colorado burden their life and their relationship with inconvenience, unfairness, and discrimination that occurs under current law?
For Stedman, it's also personal. He's one of eight openly gay state lawmakers and lost his longtime partner to pancreatic cancer over the summer. And much of the testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee centered on family and emotions.
I'm Jeremy Benjamin Simon. I'm 5 and a half, and these are my two moms.
Simon's parents have testified every time the bills come before lawmakers. Fran Simon says civil unions would mean a lot for her family.
Jeremy, like every child, should be able to grow up with the security of knowing that his parents' relationship is recognized by his state's legal system.
Another witness, Brian Bowles, talked about the moment he proposed to his partner.
I'll never forget it. I proposed to him on Christmas Day, and I got on my knee, and I'd made this angel box. And I put the ring in the hand of the angel, and I got on my knee, and I said, "My last gift to you is me." And he accepted 17 years ago. The greatest lesson I've learned is that all we have is love.
The state already has some benefits in place for same-sex couples. They can adopt each other's children and enter into a designated beneficiary agreement to iron out inheritance. But civil unions would act as an umbrella over even more rights, from hospital and prison visitation to life insurance, family leave benefits, retirement, and other laws. Opponents acknowledge that the bill's passage is inevitable, but Republican Kevin Lundberg of Berthoud says that doesn't make it any easier.
I see a carbon copy, a mirror image of marriage in Colorado law.
Lundberg says he believes civil unions will hurt the traditional family unit and lead to gay marriage.
Can you cite one difference in Colorado law that Senate Bill 11 will establish between marriage and civil unions, except for the name?
Other opponents are also upset that the bill doesn't allow adoption agencies to refuse to place a child in a same-sex household. Kelly DeForek, an attorney with the conservative group Alliance Defending Freedom, says the measure would force people to violate their religious beliefs. For instance, she says florists, photographers, and cake bakers shouldn't have to help out with civil union ceremonies.
And it's important to note that it's not a belief about homosexual behavior. It's a belief that marriage is between one man and one woman and should be protected and strengthened by society, not undermined.
Supporters acknowledge civil unions are legally similar to marriage, but Brad Clark, who heads the LGBT advocacy group One Colorado, says it's still not the same.
Words do have value, and the ability to marry is something that the state does give couples. The value in that word and the value in that recognizing that the dignity in that relationship, the civil union simply does not.
The mood inside the hearing was more relaxed compared to the tense scene last year, since supporters know they have the votes for the bill to become law. While several Republicans voted for the measure in 2012, GOP leaders blocked the bill from coming up for a final vote, leading to a bitter end and forcing a special session. But LGBT advocates are coming off a good election season. They doubled the number of openly gay state lawmakers and had other victories across the country, including electing the country's first openly gay U.S. senator in Wisconsin. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that Mesa County's School District 51 Superintendent Steve Schultz is forming a working group that would review best practices for school safety. The group will review current safety practices in the district and analyze ideas from community members, which include arming volunteers who would patrol local schools and allowing teachers with concealed carry permits to bring their guns to school. According to Schultz, the working group will include district employees, mental health professionals, law enforcement, members of community groups, and citizens interested in the subject. People who aren't selected for the main panel are still welcome to participate in the process by sharing their thoughts with the group. According to the Sentinel, state law currently restricts some actions school boards can take when it comes to guns in schools. But new legislation may change that. Senate Bill 9, introduced this month at the Capitol, would allow Colorado school boards to adopt a policy that would allow school district employees who have concealed handgun permits to carry a handgun on school property. Current law does not allow Coloradans to bring handguns on public school grounds unless the gun is in a compartment in a locked vehicle, the permit owner is an on-duty school security officer contracted and employed by the school district, or the gun is used for hunting or shooting sports on undeveloped property owned by the school district. And in other area gun news, the Telluride Daily Planet reports that despite protests from the public, the San Miguel County Board of Commissioners voted in favor of sending a letter to U.S. congressional representatives in support of gun control measures in Colorado and the U.S. According to the Planet, about 35 people, many of them gun owners from Norwood, showed up to debate the contentious issue. Many said the letter does not represent their views and urged commissioners not to send it. While many in Telluride support gun control, many in the west end of the county do not. That's why Commissioner Art Goodtimes, who lives in Norwood, insisted that discussion and consideration of the letter take place in his town instead of Telluride. Goodtimes said he understands the importance of the Second Amendment. He was the lone vote against sending the letter. After nearly an hour of public comments, commissioners agreed to modify the letter and write a new draft acknowledging that not all the citizens of San Miguel County back the measures. Delta County Health Officer Bonnie Kaler says that 4 Delta County residents were admitted to the hospital in the last week, suffering from the current strain of influenza. This compares to 4 county hospitalizations due to flu in all of 2012. The State Health Department reports 789 hospital admissions in Colorado across 37 counties. There have been 5 infant fatalities in the state. Although there is anecdotal evidence of many cases of the flu in Colorado, the state no longer releases statistics because the ski industry complained that it hurts business, according to Kaler. KVNF's Allie Lightfoot talked to medical professionals about this year's flu.
It seems Delta County has been hit hard by the flu a little early this season, with reported illnesses starting around Christmas and spreading fast throughout the school district. Here, school district nurse Christian Paschal describes what she's seeing this year.
Well, we have seen a lot of illness. I can't say without the kids being tested, you know, at their doctor's office, whether or not it's the flu. And by the flu, I mean the upper respiratory. We're also seeing some gastrointestinal viruses going around that's causing vomiting. I'm not seeing huge numbers, although it does seem to be going in waves. We've seen some fevers and upper respiratory cough, sore throat, that kind of stuff. I have heard that the flu season has started a little early this year. I can't honestly make a really good judgment on that. I mean, I think the flu season is always a concerning time that we should all try our best to stay healthy, but I'm not any more concerned about this year than I have been in the past year.
Dr. Schaffner is an infectious disease specialist from Vanderbilt University Medical Center who does work with the CDC and public health. He explains why the flu may have come early this year and why it's spreading so fast.
The two things that seem to promote its spread are, first of all, colder weather that drives us all indoors, so we spend more prolonged time in enclosed spaces. That makes it easier for the virus to get from one of us to another. And then also, winter is a time of low humidity. When we exhale the influenza virus, and it's a respiratory virus, so we will exhale it, it's surrounded by a microscopic layer of moisture. And if there's low humidity, that moisture evaporates very, very quickly, and the virus itself can float in the air for a longer period of time and be inhaled by a neighbor, someone who's close by, usually within 3 to 5 to 6 feet. Mm. And influenza spreads in that fashion.
The kids at Paonia Elementary did have to have indoor recess quite a bit over the last few weeks, so they were keeping them indoors. And you think that may have contributed to the spread?
That clearly did contribute to the spread. And one other thing, we're talking about children here. Children have the distribution franchise for influenza in our communities. First of all, they get on top of each other. They interact much more closely with each other than do adults. But the other thing is that when children get infected with the influenza virus, they transmit the influenza virus. They produce more virus for a longer period of time than do adults. So they have many more opportunities to spread the virus from themselves to others. And they come home and they give it to mom, dad, Aunt Susie, and grandpa and grandma. And so they are the ones, children, who spread the virus most efficiently in our communities.
School district nurse Christian Paschal asked Dr. Schaffner what he says to patients who believe the flu shot will give them the flu.
I have people say to me all the time, well, I got the flu shot and it made me sick. And I just wondered how he responded to people when they said that. If he had a good argument for the flu shot really can't make you sick.
You can get flu from the flu vaccine is hokum. It's a myth. It just doesn't exist. Every meticulously controlled study shows that that doesn't happen. The vaccine is not a complete virus, the injectable vaccine. It's only parts of the virus. It can't assemble the real virus and make you sick. The nasal spray variety is a live but attenuated, a weakened virus. What it can do after you get vaccinated with the nasal spray is give you a bit of a sore throat and maybe a nasal drip for just a day. But that's not influenza.
This is Allie Lightfoot for IC Change and KVNF News.
The Delta County Health Department is down to its last 40 doses of flu vaccine, available for $30 on a first-come, first-serve basis by appointment by calling 874-2165. Doctors and clinics also give flu shots, a good place to get the vaccine since they will have your medical records. Delta's Walmart no longer offers the vaccine, but Safeway and City Market in Delta still offer the shots on a walk-in basis. And that concludes your local newscast for Friday, January 25th. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, my name is Eric Gould. I'll be back with you again on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.